From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, December 11th, 2025. Independent Senator Angus King and Republican Senator Susan Collins both voted today to advance a proposed 3-year extension of subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. The two were divided on a Republican plan that would have replaced the subsidies with health savings accounts. But both measures ultimately failed to reach the 60-vote threshold needed to advance. King voted for the 3-year extension put forward by Democrats, but he opposed the Republican bill, which he described as a, quote, complicated proposal that will not address the impending premium increases. Collins was one of 4 Republicans to vote to advance the Democratic bill. She also voted in support of the GOP proposal on health savings accounts. In a statement, Collins said while neither bill was a perfect solution to the problem, she also planned to propose amendments to improve both measures. Charter Communications, which owns the internet service provider Spectrum, has laid off 176 workers from its Portland call center. A Charter spokesperson says the company is transitioning work done in Portland to other call centers around the country and that the consolidation allows work to be done more efficiently. Portland-based employees learned of the news yesterday. The Charter spokesperson says Portland employees can relocate to select other customer service locations and will be eligible for relocation benefits. Those who do not relocate will receive regular pay for 90 days and then severance and other benefits. Spurwink has been awarded a state grant to open a second crisis receiving center next spring in Lewiston. The nonprofit's Angela Blyer says the center will offer a warm and welcoming place that's open round the clock for teens and adults who are experiencing a behavioral health crisis.
They can stay for up to 23 hours and work with peers and crisis workers and clinicians to help either connect them with new resources or connect them with their existing resources.
Spurwink launched the state's first crisis receiving center in Portland 3 years ago. It says the program served more than 2,400 people and reduced emergency department visits and the involvement of law enforcement for people in crisis. Sanford has a new 28-megawatt solar array online, one of the largest installations in southern Maine. The Musum River Solar Project is built on 140 acres of privately owned land and can provide enough electricity for 6,000 homes. Jack Kenworthy, Chief Development Officer for Walden Renewables, says there's regional demand for more arrays like this one.
There's capacity on the grid for projects like this to interconnect. There's willing buyers for the power. So I think there's a right combination of ingredients in a large electricity market that, again, has a lot of demand for renewables.
The project is one of 2 utility-grade solar arrays the city of Sanford has helped develop. Earlier today, the U.S. House voted to restore the collective bargaining rights of roughly 1 million federal workers. But that only happened because Maine Congressman Jared Golden, a Democrat, used a rarely successful parliamentary process to force a vote. We're joined now by Maine Public State House correspondent Kevin Miller, who will help explain the unusual circumstances behind the vote and what happens now with Golden's bill. So, Kevin, let's start with a little background. Why did Golden introduce this bill in the first place?
Well, this all started back in March when President Trump issued an executive order eliminating collective bargaining agreements for federal workers in more than a dozen departments. And when we're talking about collective bargaining agreements, these are the legally enforceable contracts that result from negotiations between unionized workers and their employers. So Trump tried to unilaterally scrap these agreements, affecting about 1 million federal workers. And Golden, along with a moderate Republican congressman from Pennsylvania, Brian Fitzpatrick, put in a bill to restore these rights just days later.
Okay, so the House has now voted to pass that bill, but the way this all happened is pretty unusual, right?
Yeah, it's extremely unusual. Representatives Golden and Fitzpatrick introduced their bill to effectively repeal Trump's executive order back in March, and the bill had 226 co-sponsors, including 9 Republicans. But here we are talking now in mid-December, and the bill has been languishing in committee because Republican leaders don't support it. And in the House Speaker effectively controls the agenda. But there is a tool known as a discharge petition that members can use to essentially yank a bill out of committee and force a vote on the floor. It takes 218 signatures. In other words, just over half of the House has to sign on. And that's what Golden did. And here's a clip from Golden talking about it Wednesday night before the House voted 222 to 200 to force a vote on the bill.
I know that none of us ran for office with a vision of governing by discharge petition. Most of us long for the return of regular order, where bills are assessed in committee, seriously debated, and given a vote. But here we are. As it stands, we must use every tool available to do the people's work.
And as I understand it, this is all quite rare.
Yeah, that's right. Only a handful of bills have reached the House floor via a discharge petition in the past 30 years. There have been plenty of other attempts, but in almost every case, the leaders of the petition never got the 218 signatures. And that's because they are essentially doing an end run around a House speaker. And of course, that's pretty embarrassing for the speaker.
But we did hear about this happening recently with the Epstein files, right? That vote happened because of a discharge petition.
Yeah, it did. And that was only a few weeks ago. There's also talk of moderate Republicans using a discharge petition to force a vote on extending the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. So some lawmakers and DC insiders are saying that the increasing use or the success of these discharge petitions, at least in the past couple of years, is a sign of growing unhappiness among Republicans about how House Speaker Mike Johnson is running the show, because any successful petition, at least during this Congress, requires Republican signers. But I think it's worth noting here that the Epstein Files petition and several of the other petitions that we've seen in the past have been started by a member of the majority party who is upset with their leadership. In this case, we have a member of the minority party, Golden, who was working with a handful of members of the majority party and was able to get this across the finish line.
All right. So now what happens with Golden's bill?
Well, it now goes to the Senate, where its fate is unclear, to say the least. Because the Senate rules are different, it takes 60 votes out of 100 senators to move a bill forward. That means if all 47 members of the Democratic caucus support this measure, 13 Republicans would have to join them in order to get past that 60-vote threshold. But the labor unions representing federal workers are pleased with this progress. The head of the AFL-CIO called Trump's executive order, quote, the largest act of union busting in American history. And the head of the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents hundreds of thousands of federal workers, says the union will be, quote, forever grateful to Congressman Golden for his efforts.
But of course, Golden has announced that he isn't seeking re-election next year, right?
Yeah, that's right. Congressman Golden cited the intense partisanship in D.C. and around the country right now, and just the political atmosphere involving threats against lawmakers, including himself. But the congressman, who is very pro-labor, has said that this is one of his top priorities this year. So if he were able to get it passed, it would be a significant accomplishment for him, and also obviously a significant restoration of collective bargaining rights for hundreds of thousands of federal workers, including thousands here in Maine.
Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, a Made in Maine gift guide. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.